Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and it's great to be with you once again. Today we're talking about bargain buys. And no, not that $5 bag of avocados from Woolies. We're talking about the opportunities and possibilities out there when it comes to shares, property, and other investments. Because while things may be a little bit turbulent at the moment, that doesn't mean that there aren't bargains to be had. And to help us shed some light on this topic, I'm pleased to say that we're joined by regular Money Magazine contributor, Nicola Field. Welcome back to the show, Nicola.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's great to have you on. And before we kind of crack into some questions, I should say that Nicola has penned a comprehensive piece on this very subject for the September issue of Money Magazine, which is out now. So go and get your hands on a copy of that and read the article in full. To start us off, though, where are the experts you've talked to suggesting that people look when it comes to finding value stocks and equities at the moment, Nicola?
Well, there's a lot of value right across the market if you're looking for a bargain. So far, over the last 12 months, the share market is down 8%, which is actually a bit better than it was a few weeks ago. But even some of the big name blue chip shares are a lot cheaper than they were at the end of last year. So it's a bit like the Myer sale. If you're out for a bargain, there's some great quality stocks out there that you can make big savings on.
And something that I've come across a little bit recently is this idea of defensive stocks and growth stocks. But I'll admit, I don't actually fully understand what those terms mean. So could you fill us in?
Right. Those two differentiating stocks, they're really important right now because growth stocks are the ones that are going to do really well when the economy is upbeat, when interest rates are low and people have lots of money to spend. Defensive stocks tend to stack up a lot better when the economy is slowing and maybe people don't have as much money to spend, probably like they do right now with interest rates rising. But we're talking about things like consumer staples. So Woolworths is a great defensive stock because people are still going to buy groceries even when the economy slows. Some healthcare stocks like Commonwealth Serum Laboratories, people are still going to get sick and still need healthcare. So that can be a defensive stock. Mm. And the other one worth a look is infrastructure stocks like Transurban, which owns a lot of the big toll roads. Now, obviously, they have a monopoly with a lot of their assets. Nobody's going to build a second Sydney Harbour Bridge, for example. So they tend to do well as a defensive stock, being quite steady even when the economy and the share market turns down a bit.
And what are, I guess, some examples of growth stocks that might not be doing so well at the moment but might bounce back in time?
It's hard to say exactly what will bounce back in time, but I think a good example of a growth stock right now is something like Netflix. I've come across a lot of research saying one of the first things people are cutting out of their budget is streaming services, particularly if they have multiple streaming services. So something like Netflix,
I bet.
It could be one of the first things to be slashed off your budget when things get a bit tight.
Another term, or I guess asset that I've been hearing more about recently, is fixed interest funds. But again, I don't know a lot about them. So could you tell us what they're all about and I guess whether or not they might provide a more secure investment option for people at present?
Sure. When you talk about fixed interests, a lot of people will think of term deposits, but there's a whole asset class out there called fixed income assets. And what they basically are is government or corporate bonds. And all a bond is, it sounds a bit mystical, but it's just a loan from investors to a company or a government body. And the issuer pays a fixed rate of return on that, so fixed interest rate. So fixed income is regarded a little bit like the ballast in a portfolio. It's nothing like as volatile as shares, and it can be a source of regular income. Now, we're also seeing some bargains in the fixed income sector at the moment because interest rates have risen fast and very by a considerable amount. So the rates that are being earned on bonds are not as high as perhaps you could earn elsewhere, and that's pushed the value of some of these fixed income funds down. So there is certainly good buying there, as long as you're happy to look on it as maybe not as sexy a sort of investment as shares. It's certainly not going to zing up and drop down by as much. But again, it can be a source of steady income, and it's a good source of diversification in a portfolio too.
I love it. Not as sexy as shares. I'll have that etched into my brain from now on. Something that we do have to talk about, though, is property. So obviously, there are plenty of indicators that prices are either cooling or, you know, outright falling, depending on the market that you're looking at. So does that offer an opportunity for some investors then at the moment? And I guess if it does, what types of properties or locations might people want to look at?
Look, I think certainly now and the next few months are going to be a great time for investors to get into the property market. We've certainly seen values cooling. And as long as you can handle the higher interest rates, we've also seen tremendous rises in rents over the last year, double-digit rises in rents, which is not good for tenants. And of course, the vacancy rate nationally is about 1%. And in fact, in cities like Adelaide, it's closer to 0.5%. So for every 200 rental properties, maybe one is up for grabs. And that is obviously pushing up rents. So yeah, it's a great time to get into the market as an investor. But of course, there are markets within markets. And when values go down, we tend to find it's the high value properties that get hit hardest, whereas the cheaper properties tend to actually hold their value a bit better. But, you know, property is a long-term asset. So the general rule of thumb is always to look for areas that have a lot of facilities that are going to appeal to tenants, employment prospects, good location features, lifestyle features, schools, and good transport links. And if you stick, I think, to those basic rules, then it's pretty hard to go wrong. But just because a property is really cheap doesn't always mean it's a good investment. So make sure you're buying in an area that does have growth prospects and that appeals to tenants.
And what about commercial property, Nicola? Is it something that actually should be a consideration for investors, or even can be because of the price, or is there a little bit of a misconception around how much commercial property actually costs?
Look, commercial property it doesn't have that emotional tug that say an apartment or a house does, but it can be a really good investment because it's the tenant who usually pays all the outgoings, not the landlord, which is quite different from residential property. And at the moment, the industrial property market, which is warehouses and storage spaces, is absolutely going through the roof. And, you know, you don't have to be a millionaire to own industrial property. It is possible to pick up storage units for about the $200,000 mark, and they can earn rent returns of 7%. And it doesn't take much to imagine that there's not a lot of maintenance and repair costs with a storage unit. So it can be an attractive investment. There's no doubt about it.
I would never have thought about the storage unit being a possibility, but of course it is. So, and like you said, the upkeep must be pretty minimal. So something that we haven't talked about, but, you know, is a little bit of an, you know, elephant in the room to some degree, is cryptocurrency. And there's obviously been a heap of turbulence in that market recently. So is there value there, or are there kind of risks to that as well for investors looking at cryptocurrency?
I think if you're in the market for a bargain, crypto is right on the money at the moment. Bitcoin, for example, is trading at 1/3 of the value it was commanding back in November. But you have to ask yourself, is it worth the risk? The experts I spoke to generally held the view of, if you really must invest in crypto, put in a very small amount, maybe tops 5% of your portfolio, which, you know, money that you can afford to lose. And let's face it, for most of us, that's not a lot right now. And I think one of the big challenges of crypto is it's very difficult to see where it's going. Only this week, the Reserve Bank announced that it's trialing a digital currency of its own. And once you get central banks coming on board, which will offer a much more secure option to the cryptocurrencies we're seeing out there in the moment, then it can take the gloss off the market that, let's face it, has had some fairly dodging dealings in regards to scams and all those sorts of nasties that have made investors a little wary.
Well, you throw me the perfect segue there, because we've talked about where people can find value or bargains, but is there anything investors may want to avoid at the moment? And I'm really thinking about scams there as well, given the kind of prevalence and how much people are talking and unfortunately falling for them right now.
Yeah, it's just heartbreaking to see that in the last year alone, Australians have lost $700 million to investment scams. And in fact, investment scams have been by far and away the leading source of scams over the past 12 months. And I think that's probably a function that when markets get a bit jittery, we tend to fall for that earn a high return and it's very low risk spin that scammers love to ply us with. Look, there are actions being taken to protect us from scams. Telcos are now required to block SMS scams and SMS calls, which is a big step. But fundamentally, we also need to use our own kind of self-protection. And the classic line, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. It absolutely holds true. If you're getting a call or an SMS or an email out of the blue offering you something that sounds absolutely fantastic, the red lights have to start flashing. They really do.
I think that's excellent advice. And given the amount of spam calls and text messages that we're all getting, I think that's probably something that we can all kind of appreciate and take away. But it's been a real pleasure chatting, Nicola, but I think we'll probably have to leave it there today. So thank you so much for coming on. And I'm sure we'll be hearing from you before too long as well.
Thanks again, Tom.
And don't forget, if you're interested in learning more, you can read Nicola's article in full in this month's edition of Money Magazine, which, as I said, is on sale now. You can also keep up to date with all the latest financial news and views via our website by heading over to moneymag.com.au. Don't forget that if you enjoy listening to Friends with Money, we'd love for you to share or recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can leave us a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. And while you're there, hit subscribe to make sure that you don't miss out on our future episodes. We'd also love to hear from you if you have any questions, comments, or even story ideas. And on that note, a big thanks to everyone who has sent through suggestions already, because we see them and we love receiving them. So if you'd like to send something our way, make sure you use our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode, though. But Friends with Money will be back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.